Chapter 5. Catriona della Hunt. I was now just 10, a boy who couldn't walk, speak, feed, or dress himself. I was helpless, but only now did I begin to realise how helpless I really was. I still didn't know anything about myself. I just knew that I was different from others. I looked at Peter's hands. They were brown, steady hands, with strong, square fingers. Then I looked down at my own. They were queer, twisted hands with bent, crooked fingers, hands that shook continually, so that they looked more like two snakes than a pair of human hands. I began to hate the sight of those hands, the sight of my head and lopsided mouth as I saw them in the mirror, so that I soon hated and feared mirrors. They told me too much. They let me see what other people saw every time they looked at me, that when I opened my mouth it slid sideways, making me look ugly and foolish, that when I tried to speak I only grunted, the saliva running down my chin at every word I attempted to say, that my head kept shaking from side to side, that when I tried to smile, I used to screw up my eyes so that my face looked like an ugly mask. Mother noticed the change in me, and I believe she knew the cause of it. But she didn't say anything. She understood me better than anyone else at home. I couldn't deceive her because she always had a disturbing way of finding out whether I was happy or sad. She saw now that I was nearly always sad, moody, and shut up in myself. I didn't crawl about the house as I used to, but sat curled up in the big armchair, staring at the fire or merely at the wall. During the months that followed, I began to sink deeper and deeper into myself. Mother tried, but nothing could bring back the happy child I used to be. He didn't exist anymore. Instead, I became a tense, silent creature who had nerves as sharp as broken glass. Then one Christmas, one of us, I think it was Paddy, got a box of paint from Santa Claus. I got a box of toy soldiers, but the moment I saw Paddy's paints with all the wonderful colours and the long, soft-haired brush, I fell in love with them. I felt I must have them to keep as my own. I was fascinated by the little solid blocks of paint. Blue, red, yellow, green and white. Later in the day, I sat and watched Paddy as he tried to make some impression with the paints on a piece of white cardboard torn from an old shoebox, but he only made a mess. I felt annoyed with him and a bit jealous. "I can't use these things," he grumbled, throwing his brush down. "They're only for girls." I saw my chance. Pushing out my box of toy soldiers towards him with my foot, I asked him, in a grunt, to change them for his paints. "Done!" exclaimed Paddy, glad to get rid of a girl's toy. "But how are you going to use them?" I didn't really know, but I just lifted my left foot and smiled. I put them away till all the excitement of Christmas was past. Then one quiet afternoon, when there was nobody in the kitchen but Mother and myself, I crawled over to the cupboard, opened the door with my foot, took the little black box of paints out, and put it on the floor in front of me. "What are you up to?" said Mother, coming over to where I sat with my back against the wall. "Surely you're not trying to paint?" I nodded very solemnly. "I'll get you water," said Mother, going into the pantry and coming back with a cupful, which she put on the floor beside me. I had no paper. Mother got me some from Peter's exercise book. I dipped the brush into the water and rubbed on some vivid red paint. Then I painted on the open page before me the outline of a cross. I grinned triumphantly up at Mother, remembering when, 5 years before, I had drawn with my left foot for the first time. Mother had also been there at my side, and she was there now, still inspiring me onwards. There was no sweating or shaking this time. I did it quite smoothly. I had discovered a new way to communicate with the outside world, a new way to talk with my left foot. As time went on, I became more devoted to my little box of paints. I painted all sorts of crazy things, from a sketch of Peter's face, to which he indignantly objected, to a bunch of dead fish lying in the dustbin, done before Tibby the cat from next door finished them off. Then Mother managed to buy me some more paints and brushes, along with one or two drawing books and a pencil. This, of course, broadened my range of expression and allowed me to have a greater choice of subject. From that time on, I painted every day upstairs in the back bedroom, completely by myself. Slowly, I began to lose my early depression. I had a feeling of pure joy while I painted, a feeling I had never experienced before and which seemed almost to lift me above myself. Then, one day when I was about 11, Mother became ill and went to the Rotunda Hospital, where a few weeks later she gave birth to her last child, a boy, thus completing the total of 22. She remained very ill after my smallest brother was born and rapidly became worse. We were all in a terrible state at home. With Mother away, the house seemed to go dead. I didn't even paint now. I had no interest in anything because I thought my mother was going to die. I was huddled up on the sofa one cold night in December when a knock sounded on the front door. I heard voices at the hall door, but I didn't bother to listen, being too worried and upset because of Mother. Then I heard Father and someone else come into the kitchen. "This is Christy," Father said. The light hadn't been switched on yet and the room was a bit shadowy. But by the light of the street lamp outside, I could see that my visitor was a young girl, perhaps about 18. She was slim and tall and lovely, the most beautiful girl I had ever seen. "Hello," she said, smiling a lovely smile. "My name is Miss Della Hunt. Your mother told me about you." I tried to say something, but I only made the same queer grunting noise that I always made when I tried to speak. The girl just smiled and sat down on the edge of the sofa. "I thought I'd come and meet you," she said. "You don't mind, do you?" I shook my head vigorously. Then she told me how she had heard of me. I learned she was a student social worker at the Rotunda Hospital, that she had met Mother, who told her about me and how I painted with my left foot, and so she had wanted to meet me. Also, she had another reason to come. Mother was very worried about how we were managing at home without her, so the girl had decided to come and get me to write Mother a little note. "Will you do that for me?" she asked. I couldn't refuse. Then Father lifted me onto the table, and holding the pencil between my toes, I wrote on the back of an old envelope, "Dear Mum, don't worry. All okay. Get well soon. Christy." I didn't want to put any kisses at the end of it, but Miss Della Hunt told me it would look better if I did, so unwillingly I scrawled one big kiss in the corner of the envelope and gave it to her. She left, but promised to come again. I went to bed that night, feeling dizzy. Next time she came, I got a big surprise, for she brought me a whole load of paints, brushes, and drawing books, along with the good news that Mother was improving and would be home soon. Catriona Della Hunt came into my life at a time when I most needed someone like her, someone who could make me realise the necessity of trying to rise above the ordinary and who could help me attain a securer balance within myself. Apart from Mother, she was to be my greatest helper in the years and the problems that were before me. But of course, I didn't know all this at 11 years old. I only knew that I had met my first dream girl.